there are more than 500 software programs for the Macintosh office that can help managers manage, salesmen sell, bankers bank, and vice presidents do whatever it is they do. So no matter what business you're in business.
Plus minute alpha conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Jeffrey Elijah. Joining me today, Lana Del Rey begged him to play bass with her on stage Tuesday, but he said, no chance, Lana. I have to cover the event for Cult of Mac. He's a man of the people. Lewis Wallace is here.
Yeah, it really broke my heart to turn that gig down.
I heard she was very upset.
Oh, man. I don't like to disappoint big pop stars like that.
Well, if it were Weird Al, you would have been there, sure. But, you know, it's only Lana Del Rey. Also joining us, he just bought all Apple's newest gear and a new sleeping bag, because when his wife sees the bill, he'll be sleeping in the car. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, have fun.
Did you buy one of everything, Leander?
Actually, I didn't know. Just the iPad Pro.
The all you got was the iPad Pro, Leander.
Well, you know,
you've
budgets
changed.
Are tight. Budgets are tight at Cult of Mac.
With the pencil, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not the keyboard. I'll probably get the keyboard, though. I mean, that's, I don't know, isn't that $179 for something I probably won't use? I bought the keyboard for the last one and barely used it.
Exactly. Plus, all the prices are going up, up, up.
Yeah, right.
So how can you afford to buy one of everything? That's actually something that I think is worth talking about. And we're also going to talk just a little bit this show about the financial call that just happened, because Lewis said there's a couple of very interesting points that you're all going to want to hear. So he wants to tell us about those. Oh, and I forgot to tell you what else we're going to talk about. We're going to break down the entire hardware event that Apple had this week. We're going to talk about all the different products that were announced, our reactions, our emotions. If we have time, I will talk to you guys about my week one impression with the iPhone XR. I have it. I've been using it. I have mixed emotions. It's been an emotional week for me. I love it. I don't love it. I want to keep it. I want to return it. I'm all over the place.
Okay.
It's been a tearful
You're
week for me.
You're an emotional mess.
I have notes all over the place, too, for all these different gadgets. This is just going to be a complete disaster of the show, but we'll try to just, we'll
I know,
try
to just the barrel notes through. I looked at the notes and I was like, oh, no. This is going to be an hour-long Earphone rant session.
They dropped a bomb on us. It was just like, boom, y'all, boom, y'all, boom, y'all. It's one product after another. And all of them have been completely redesigned from the ground up for the most part. So you're going through trying to figure out what's new, what's good, what's missing, what the hell is going on with these prices. I mean, there's a lot of detail to sift through. So we'll try to do as best we can, and if we get tired, we'll just stop mid-show and just end it right there. As that sounds. No music, no nothing.
Well, that's what happens anyway, isn't it, when the listeners tune out?
Well, they would never know, because we've lost about 95% of them by one-third of the way into the show. So they don't know how long this show actually lasts. Many of them probably think this show actually is 30 minutes. Okay, let's see. Before we dive in, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode and for supporting us for years. Squarespace has been with us for so long. I use Squarespace for all my website needs. And you're like, well, of course you do. They've been supporting you for years. Yes, but I've been paying for it even before Squarespace was a sponsor. I love the service. It works so very well. And if you need a website, I would recommend that you go check them out, squarespace.com/cultcast. A website can be a nightmare to build, and especially if you want to make it look good on all the various devices that will visit your website. That's the magic of Squarespace. They have this beautiful template system. You can go in there, choose the template you want, and within moments have your website up and running. Or you can go in with their drag and drop system. You can totally customize the entire thing, the titles, the text, the images. You can add your social media. You can add videos. I mean, it will feel like a developer custom built it for you, and it will look great on every device that visits. It's the most hassle-free website I've ever built, too. You build it and you're done. There's no maintaining it. Squarespace does it all for you. It's just set it and forget it, baby. You just go in there, tinkle with it, tickle it. You're all set.
Can you build a new Cult of Mac website? We're trying to get
I was actually going to recommend that, actually. We should talk after the show.
Okay.
That one's going to require some serious customization, but I think we can make that happen for you. Well, if you have been thinking about building a website for your business. Maybe you're promoting an event. You're having a party. You're having your bar mitzvahs coming up. You're having a birthday party. You want to promote your skills to potential employers. Go check it out. Squarespace.com/cultcast. Build yourself a website. And if you like what you have at the end of your trial, your two-week trial, you can continue your service. Use code CULTCAST at checkout and you will get 10% off your first purchase. Plus, if you order a year of service, you get an additional discount and a free domain name. I think you're really going to be impressed if you go play around with it. Squarespace.com/CULTCAST. Woo! Where do we even begin? Oh, let's start with the financial stuff, Lewis. Let's just knock that stuff out of the way. No one wants to hear about that stuff anyway. So just tell us how much money they made. Tell us the denomination that Tim Cook is using to wipe his bum now, and we can move on.
Oh, my heavens. Well, yeah, they made a lot of money, believe it or not. Quarterly revenue of $62.9 billion, an increase of 20% from the year-ago quarter.
20%? Crikey. And that's a new record. This is a new record, right?
It's like a, yeah, this, everything's a record. It's like,
well, every time, I know, we just recycle the same headline.
It's, yeah, I know.
You don't even change the copy, right?
It's everything the same. These things write themselves. Yeah, it's crazy. And Wall Street's not that thrilled. After hours, its stock's way down.
Well,
I was just going to say, I was very excited about this news when you told me because I just bought Apple stock again for the first time in years.
Man, you are the king of timing.
Ka-ching! And I'm looking at the stock after hours. What the hell, Lewis?
Yeah, well,
you said they made tons of money and it dropped almost 1.5%.
Yeah, you know.
That's more than that.
No, it's 6%. They dropped 6%.
It's 6%.
And after hours trading, Lewis, what the hell?
You know, Wall Street cares about growth.
Those bastards.
Growth. They care about growth. They want to know how many iPhones Apple is going to sell next time. They want it to be more than last time. And this time, iPhone sales were up a smidgen, basically flat over last quarter and over the previous, you know, year-ago quarter. They're up, but not much. And I think what's going on is, you know, it's a mature market, and Apple is building devices that last longer, right? So so many people have iPhones already. One of the things they are constantly touting is what, you know, 1 billion devices in use, right? I don't even remember what the numbers are. Some insanely
I think it
large,
was a billion, yeah.
Insanely large number. You know, how many more people are going to buy one every single year, you know? I mean, suckers like me who are on the iPhone upgrade program, and I say sucker in the nicest way because I think it's the best way to stay on top of things. I love that service. But, you know, there are plenty of people who are just like, ah, yeah, this phone is great. It's still fine after a year. Why would I spend $1,000?
I mean, most of the people that I know keep their phone for at least 2 years. Some of them, I hate to admit that I even associate with these people, actually, but 4 years, some of them.
To get back to the point, aren't they worried about the relatively low sales of the XS and the XS and the XS Max? Like, isn't there some indication that the sales haven't been the huge blockbuster that, you know, Wall Street was hoping for?
Well, I think they just didn't break it out, you know? I mean, I don't know if you ever listen to one of these calls, but everything is like, oh, it's great. You know, Apple spins everything as positive, of course. You know, I mean, I don't think they're being dishonest either. I mean,
I mean, they released, you know, it's a record quarter. Yeah. They sold a bajillion phones. It's actually up. Like you said, it's kind of flat from the last quarter when it should be a little bit higher. Wall Street expects it to be higher, right?
Yeah, well, that's what Wall Street wants. They want everything to grow. That's why tech stocks are so high, right? Because, like, the future, you know, the future growth. Well, I mean, you know, it's a mature industry for Apple. The iPhone is. But the thing is, here's where Apple is smart as can be. They just keep coming up with new ways to make money. One is by jacking up the price on every single thing. Another another is by, you know, broadening their product lines. And another thing that they are doing constantly is expanding their services revenue over and over and over. They're turning these people who have the phones and the Macs and everything, turning them into money machines, right? Like,
yeah,
oh, give me $3 a month. Give me $5 a month. Give me $10 a month. That adds up. You know, you got a billion devices and everybody gives you $10 a month. Whew, that's some money.
And they also jacked up the prices for all of the Apple Care, well, all of the out of warranty replacements or warranty work for how do I say this? The non-warranty work for iPads, for iPhones. And so if you, for example, the new iPads, the 12-inch, they want $649 to fix it. $649. The 11-inch, they want $500. And when you look at it that way, you think, oh, well, I might as well get the Apple Care Plus plan, right? So now you're ending up giving Apple, I don't know, what, $6, $7 a month just for that, and then another $5 or $6 a month for Apple Care Plus for your phone. Then you're paying them for iCloud space for your photo library, and then you're paying them for Apple Music. I mean, yeah, some people are probably paying them like $30-$40 a month.
Okay, I guess it's a Tim Cook impression. Pay up, y'all.
Give me that money, y'all.
Well, they didn't they break out some number about the services and how much they were making for services?
Yeah, it's booming. Biggest quarter ever, $10 billion in revenue from services. And the other thing, okay, there's another amazing little gem nugget here. Average selling price, which is the thing that Apple's been concentrating on lately, it's like over the top. I can't remember what it was, $793 or something like that something, for every phone. And the street was expecting $750. So it's, you know, I mean, they beat on a lot of things. But what they didn't beat on was, you know, the iPhone sales chart is not still climbing. It's been slowing down for a while, right? I mean, six plus was the last, like, the high mark, right? I mean, that was the last time it was, like, really crazy.
Well, that was
high.
One of those big upgrade cycles, wasn't it? Because everyone wanted the big screen for the first time.
Yeah. But so, you know, they're doing different things. So the other, the big takeaway, or I think what's going to probably be the biggest news out of this whole thing, is that they're not going to report how many phones they're selling anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to continue to, you know, tell how much money they made and tell how many, or, you know, what their gross operating margins are and things like that. But they're backing even further. I mean, when was it? Like a year or so ago, they quit giving launch weekend numbers, right? They said over and over, there's just no real, it's not that, well, what they say is it's not that relevant to us. Maybe that's true. For sure, it doesn't help them tell the story that they want to tell, which is we're super successful. It's way better for them to say, hey, look how much extra money we generated this time. Why concentrate on something that, you know, they can see is going to be not off the charts?
Right. It's going to generate negative headlines, isn't it? It's going to, you know, because the numbers are going to start to go down, I guess.
Yeah. So they're taking those numbers away from people, you know, which it's, I don't know. To be honest, I mean, if you look at every category of their business, it's all up. I mean, even if they're selling fewer phones, they're making more money.
So you mean from a revenue perspective, it's all up?
Right, right. And, you know, the other thing about this thing, which I found kind of striking, you know, the last few times I've listened to these, there seems to be a lot of talk about, I always call it the magic pipeline, right? You know, like Tim Cook's always kind of going, hey, we got some really great stuff in the pipeline. Well, I don't think he even referred to that at all this time. This time he was talking about the here and now. We have all these great new products that we've just released, you know, and it's true. If you think about it, this last month or so has been like bang, 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 new product, new product, new product. And they're all, I mean, they've refreshed so many product lines and they're all like, just about everybody in our little Slack channel has been going like, oh my God, you know, I just took another $2,000 hit. Because they're, you know, you want this stuff. And they're better and faster and cooler looking than ever before. So I don't know, man. I think Apple, I don't think Apple's smart about that. I know Apple's smart about this. Apple's, they're like financial wizards, right? I mean, they're not morons. They're not, they know how to make a good story, right? And so what they're doing is taking away this little number that is going to be nettlesome for them down the line.
Mm-hmm. They're also, as they continue raising all their prices, which is a point I'm going to talk about in just a sec, fewer people are probably going to buy their stuff. And so when their revenue goes up, that probably looks good to Wall Street. But when the amount of products you're selling goes down, it is definitely a negative story, right? Because it means that your company isn't as popular maybe as it used to be. You're just extracting more revenue from the people who are already buying stuff from you. In fact, I was reading, I've been watching a lot of YouTube reviews of various Apple products and the announcements. I can't believe how many comments there are on YouTube of people who are pissed And they feel like Apple is pricing them out of buying new hardware because all of this stuff is so expensive now. They just can't afford to continue buying it. And one guy said something that I thought was really funny and it really stuck with me. He said, Apple is in full profit extraction mode. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Check this out. So just a little bit of rough math here, okay? In the last 2 to 3 years, after watching this event, I realized Apple has been in the process of raising the prices of pretty much all of their stuff. Let's see here. I had a note. Where did I put it? I had it right in front of me, but okay, here we go. Apple has raised, this is in the last 2 to 3 years, Apple has raised the prices of iPhones 35%. The price of the MacBook Pro went up 15%. The price of the iPads went up 20%. And now the prices of the MacBook Air went up 20%, and the price of the Mac Mini just went up 38%. They're raising their prices across all of their gadgets big time, and it kind of feels like there are two classes of Apple products now. There are the elite pro products that you have to spend big bucks to buy, or you can buy the repackaged budget products like the iPad, where they have the same form factor, but it has been upgraded with old tech. Their older technology is in it. And it's like a budget device. It's $330. So it's a pretty good deal. But if you want their newest, best technology, you got to make a huge leap from that number the new iPad, the new 11-inch starts at $800. The old iPad, the iPad Pro 10.5-inch, was $650. So what did I say that was? Like a 20% increase? I mean, all across the board, huge heist prices. People are going to start realizing that this stuff, they're going to start thinking, is this stuff really worth what Apple is asking for? And if it is, can I afford to actually buy it? Because even friends that I have are being squeezed out of Apple products. And I feel like I'm being squeezed. I'm looking at this stuff now thinking to myself, I cannot afford to upgrade every year to all of this new stuff. It's just way too expensive. I mean,
your MacBook, and you're probably going to upgrade your iPad, right?
Yeah, but I haven't upgraded my MacBook in 4.5 years, 5 years?
You just upgraded it.
Yeah, I know. I just upgraded it, but I'm not going to upgrade it as often as I would.
You mean 2 weeks later? You're not going to buy a new one?
Oh. Like, actually,
this month? I'm not going to upgrade it this month.
I'm going to wait until
the new year.
We're going to have to crowdfund that one, I think. But one of the reasons I buy this stuff is because I want to talk about it. I want to have firsthand experience with it. But if I weren't buying it to be able to speak about it, you know, in this context, I don't know if I would have upgraded, quite honestly. And you were just saying the same thing. You were just commiserating. Oh man, look how expensive the new iPad is.
Yeah. If you check out the new iPad and you buy some, you know, Adobe software for it and all the accessories, I mean, it's nearly $3,000.
Right? For an iPad. Right. And I know, I mean, remember when the iPad came out? What was it? $500?
$400, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was 500. Anyway, $400.
Yeah.
The iPhone was $649.
Steve Jobs said it was a breakthrough device at a breakthrough price.
Yeah,
surprisingly cheap, wasn't it, when they came out with it? It was like, that was the shocking thing about it, how cheap it was. But yeah,
well, those days are long gone.
Those days are long gone. The Mac Mini, I mean, you could trick out the Mac Mini. I mean, they say it starts at, what, $750? But actually, you could trick it out to be, what was the numbers? It was
$4,200.
Yeah, it was crazy.
If you trick it out with all the gear, it's $4,200 for a Mac Mini. Which, the Mac Mini, and we'll get into this, it doesn't even have a decent GPU. So for $4,200, you might as well just buy the iMac Pro and get a 5K screen and all of the prowess that comes with that machine, and you know, you have a decent GPU. So,
but you know, like Lewis pointed out earlier as well, I mean, this is the kind of stuff. I mean, I've got the old iPad, the big 12-inch iPad Pro, and that thing is extremely good. It is, you know, it hasn't degraded at all. It's got no degradation in battery life. It's got, you know, it hasn't been cracked or dropped or broken, and it's as good as the day I bought it. I could keep using that thing for years. And I think that's what happens, isn't it? A lot of people do that. They had this big debate about iPads and about the iPad upgrade cycle. People, you know, they're so durable. They're so well-made. They're fantastic value for money. I mean, you know, if you bought a Chromebook or someone else's, people were complaining about the new Surface tablets, that they're really slow, that they just don't perform. people, you know, the people are raving about the hardware design, but when it actually comes to use the thing, it's a nightmare. It's an exercise in frustration.
They also don't hold their value. I mean, I just sold my 2013 MacBook Pro on Craigslist for $815. $815 for an almost 5-year-old computer. I mean, what That's other crazy. Gadget holds its value like that? Right. I can't think of one.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's always, people always complain about Apple being expensive, and it is expensive. You know, there's no
it's
doubt
like
about
having,
it.
I feel like we have like a drug habit. It's like, it would be cheaper to be addicted to like cocaine or crack than it would be to be addicted to what we have, because, That's you know, you'd false. Be spending what, max of $2,000-$3,000 a year. You blow that one purchase on Apple. It's like, oh, there's your MacBook Pro. Now I'm jonesing for that new iPad that I absolutely don't need and can't think of a single practical reason why I should actually buy it. But I'm going to. Damn you, Tim.
I know. Well, yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, you know, the reason I bought a new iPad was because I've got to review it. I've got to, you know, use it for my job.
That's what we tell ourselves.
It is.
That's the lie we tell ourselves.
Well, you're right. It is a total lie. It's a complete.
Right.
It's a complete justification. A rationale. Post.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely a rationale. I mean, I was sitting there. I was arguing with myself last night, saying, "Well, first of all, instantly, as soon as I saw the new iPad, I knew I was going to buy it." And then I started, my rational self started to interject, and I quickly told my rational self to shut the hell up.
Right, shut up.
Because it was making way too much sense. It's like, you barely use your iPad now for anything more than reading and watching Dr. Disrespect videos. What do you need a $1,000 iPad for? What are you going to do with it? What does it do for you, really? I mean, honestly, I really can't think of a practical reason I need the new iPad Pro. It's become a sports car. It has the technology to go 200 miles per hour, but most people are going to use it to drive to work at 60 miles per hour. I wonder how many people are actually going to use the horsepower that they're buying with the iPad Pro. Because what can you do with it? Is it going to be a laptop replacement? It's not for me. I'm not buying that whole argument that it's going to be a laptop replacement for most people, because it's not a laptop. There's no file system. You can't use a mouse with it. The software at this point is really, really the limiting factor, I think, with the iPads. They could make it into an actual laptop replacement if they would customize, create some kind of hybridized OS that's part OS, part iOS, I should say, and part Mac OS. And that way, you can leave your laptop at home and just use the iPad. But it's just basically a giant iPhone right now with insanely fast hardware. So productivity-wise, what are you actually going to do with the new iPad Pro? I don't know. Draw stuff?
Well, that's why I'm not going to buy one. I mean, I don't use the iPad Pro. I mean, I love my iPad Pro, but I don't use it for anywhere near what I really should, you know? I mean, I'm not recording music on it. I can't draw anything. I like it because it's fast as can be, and it sounds great, and it looks great, but I can't justify spending $1,000 for another new one, even if it is for my job. I just sit here and listen to Leander talk.
What if I told you, Lewis, what if I told you that the iPad Pro comes with Apple's next generation neural engine for advanced machine learning? Uh-oh. You hear him? I just heard the wallet come out.
I like the sound of it. You know, don't get me wrong. I'd love to get one of these things, yeah. But
but they're too expensive.
I don't know. Maybe I'll sell my old one and get a new one. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't. It's a completely great tablet still, this one that I have. It's a couple years old, or a year and a half, whatever.
Can I say something else? I really don't want this to turn into a bitch fest, but I got to bring up one other thing I noticed.
Right.
The event was very exciting, and I came away extremely satiated, and it was just like, boom, bang, whoa, oh my goodness. One product after another, but some of the things that came to my mind afterwards that kind of bummed me out. Have you noticed Apple's new strategy is different than it used to be? They used to take the current product, lower the price, and then the new product would replace it, the previous product at the current price point for that product. But now they just add on the new product at a higher price, and then they leave the old product there at the exact same price. The 10.5-inch iPad is still the entire 10.5-inch iPad line is still there, and it's still the same price. It didn't drop at all. Apple just added this new, more expensive iPad, which is supposed to replace the old iPad Pro. What the hell? You're supposed to drop the price on the old one and then give me the new one at the current price, not raise the price on me and sell the old tech for the same price. How is the old iPad still worth the price they're asking? It's a year old now.
They were doing that for the, you know, the Mac Mini for 5 years, and for the iMac, and for all the other, you know, Macs and the products that they didn't update. So what's the difference? They just keep it
around.
They
did that with the MacBook Air too. So now the MacBook Air, it was $1,000. Now it's $1,200 starting. But the $1,000 model is still there. You can still buy it.
Well, right. Didn't they do this to the old iPhones though as well? Or did they discount the old iPhones? You know, when they came out with a new iPhone, didn't they used to discount the old one?
They used to. They used to. But Apple just doesn't discount anything anymore.
It's Appleflation.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'll stop bitching until we get to the MacBook Pro news, which deserves a blistering diatribe for what they did. Shame on them for what they did with these MacBook Pros. Very anti-consumer. And if you haven't heard the news, I will tell you exactly why I'm so irate about this.
Well,
but
it's a horror story.
Why don't we talk about what we like about the new iPad Pro?
Okay. Well, there's so much to talk about, Leander. Do you want to tell us? Do you want to kick us off so I can have a minute to cool off?
Well, yeah. You know, the form factor is supposed to be great. It's thinner, lighter, a little bit smaller with the same screen. I'm really looking forward to Face ID on it. And the speed, of course. I mean, the speed is going to be cracking. I can't wait to open up my, you know, a Word file and have it boom right open. I'm actually going to try and get Photoshop and try to learn how to use Photoshop, because that Photoshop demo they had on stage was like insane. That was unbelievable. The kind of stuff you can do, you know, and she turned to an AR scene and there was butterflies floating around. My jaw was on the floor. I'd love to be able to do that kind of thing. So, I disagree with you. I think this thing is, you know, they were talking about how this thing is a PC replacement, laptop replacement. And for someone like me, it definitely is. You know, I don't need to have a mouse. I don't have a mouse cursor. I don't have a file system. There's all this, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the Pro apps. That was a big problem. The Pro apps, right, they didn't work the same. They didn't have the same functionality as they did, like, on the desktop. And there are some restrictions. Like, could we record the podcast the way we do on the iPad Pro?
I don't think so. No, I have multiple apps open. I have multiple windows open.
Yeah,
so
there's a few things I think with the workflow. But, you know, like, I take my cue for someone like Charlie, you know, who will work out, you know, an alternative workflow for doing things. And like my wife, you know, my wife now, she's been an iPad user, and she's not a power user, but she does use, you know, she graduated from using a laptop to using an iPad, and she's been using an iPad now for years and years, and has absolutely no problem with doing everything that she needs to do with an iPad. You know, and I think it's got to the point now where I think you could say the same thing is true. I mean, not for every single pro workflow, of course, but for a lot of pro workflows, it's true. You could use the iPad, and it's been true for a while as a laptop replacement.
You might be right. I still feel like for people who are actually creating content, the iPad is going to be something that they're not going to be able to use, because it doesn't offer you all of the utility of an actual laptop.
This debate has been going on forever, and it's like, who's a pro, right? You know, am I a pro? Yeah, you know, I make a living working on a computer.
I can be very professional,
but, you know, I don't use it for Photoshop. I don't use it for movie editing. Could they use an iPad Pro to edit, you know, like a Hollywood movie or a TV show? Yeah, I honestly don't know.
I mean, I think you probably could, but why would you? Because there are so many better tools available on the Mac than doing it on an iPad.
That's probably not a good example, this debate popped up last year, didn't it? And it was like when the MacBooks came out, and it was like, and the iMacs, you know, where is Apple's pro machines, and what defines a pro? And I think it's such a huge. There are so many different pros that they can't possibly make a custom machine, you know, for everybody, right? It's got to be a general tool that a lot of people can use. And, you know, like programmers, if you're a professional programmer, I mean, your needs are very different from someone who's, you know, doing music or digital audio or something like that, aren't they? But I think, you know, in general, it is a pro machine for sure. I think there's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, I could keep going back and forth about this probably for the entire show, but let's run through some of the other attributes of these new iPads. Am I buying one? Yes. I think I'm going 256 silver, and I'm going to get the Apple Pencil as well, because it looks like the new redesign is actually going to be useful, and I just want to try it out. I didn't buy the iPad Pro before, and the new pencil looks like it might actually be compelling. So I'm gonna give it a shot, see how it goes. It's thinner, smaller, less volume than before. The 12.9-inch now is the size of a piece of paper, so much more portable. Yes, they took away the headphone jack, so you'll have to have AirPods if you want to listen to anything. Or dongle, you have to dongle it up. Everybody loves those dongles. That's actually a feature, not a compromise. Big performance increases. We have the A12X Super Bionic Mega Chip in there.
8 cores.
Yeah, it has. Did they say only 8? I thought it was 800.
Yeah.
Did I write that down wrong?
You did.
But so yeah, 4 fast cores for I don't know what to call them.
Efficiency cores.
Efficiency cores. Thank
battery
you.
Battery saving.
There you go. There you go. And it will have Face ID that will work in any orientation, so you can turn the iPad all around. It will still work. Apple's saying that the A12X Bionic chip will provide 35% faster single-core performance. I bet the multi-core is just going to be insane.
Well, didn't it show up today on some performance tests? It's actually faster than the new MacBook Pros.
Holy smokes, I didn't see that. That's nuts. That's nuts. And then the other tidbit they shared, which kind of blew my gourd, made my grapes spill out of my ears, 7-core GPU, which they compared performance-wise to a Xbox One S console, which is powerful. That's a very powerful GPU to be in a slate of glass that you're just holding in your hand. And when you see it in person, I mean, just imagine, it's 6 millimeters thick. That's like holding a piece of glass in your hand. It's just crazy. Of course, the big news, USB-C is going to be replacing the Lightning connector. USB-C is so confusing. I feel like we have to have Charlie on to explain all the different attributes of USB-C. It is truly confusing. It's a USB-C. It's a Thunderbolt. It can charge 30 watts, but only if it has the right wires inside. I mean, it's like completely baffling. So what can USB-C do for your iPad? Well, it will allow you to tether to your iPhone and charge it, so you can charge your iPhone via your iPad. What can you connect to your iPad? USB hubs? Can you connect USB hubs? We don't know. Hard drives? Who knows? Printers? Who knows? The Verge was asking them about these types of peripherals at the event, and Apple said they weren't even sure and that they're going to have to find out. So there you go.
Well, what do you want to connect a printer for?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you'd want to connect a USB dock. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if you have like a USB dock and you wanted more USB ports, like, would that work? Apple doesn't seem to be able to answer those questions currently. So, but a printer, I don't know. You could probably print wirelessly. So,
well, that right, exactly. AirPrint, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I don't want to connect a printer. I mean, you know.
Okay, you don't have to connect to the printer, okay? I was just throwing out examples there. Goodness.
I know, because this is like throwing up all these things that it can't do, but who cares? You don't want to do
it. No, no. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying my question is, what can you do with USB-C? USB-C is
And The Verge, who cares? Do you really read The Verge? I find them really annoying. Don't read The Verge.
You know, how dare you speak about The Verge that way in front of me? The Verge is my tech Bible. How dare you?
They're always nitpicking.
Yeah, they're nitpickers, but that's their job. That's their job. Let's see here. Oh, no mouse support, no file system support. Yeah. I've got ahead of myself. So USB-C, they say that you can connect it to a screen, which on its face sounds exciting. Oh, I can power a 5K display. But from a pragmatic perspective, if you don't have a mouse and you don't have, if you don't have a mouse and you don't have the kinds of applications that you have on your Mac, how is a secondary display going to work? I'm having a hard time visualizing that. You can't have multiple windows open, so what is a display going to do for you? Is it just going to make
just be a dumb mirror, won't it?
I don't know. I really don't
know.
Right,
it'll have to be, because there's no way you can't put your finger over on the 5K display.
So, but can the display show things that you aren't currently
running on this,
showing on
the main screen?
Your iPad? I guess that's going to have to be something that developers address. Like, maybe they'll have to build in like second monitor support. Anyway, my only point being that sounds like a really cool whiz bang feature, but practically, what can you actually do with it? I'm not totally sure yet. It sounds cool, and it could end up being very cool, but who knows? Apple Pencil 2 gets magnetic connection and charging, and better iOS integration, and also, you'll be happy to hear, a 30% higher price tag. The Apple Pencil was $100. The new one is $130.
But you can engrave it now.
Oh, well, there you go.
This cost me an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just this cost me an arm and a leg. I don't think they have that many characters available. Yeah. So, am I being a party pooper? I feel like I'm being a party pooper.
Yeah, you sound like a lot of people. Like,
I'm sorry.
Every time you look on Twitter, you know, it's been like a week of complaining. Even from Apple's most ardent fans. You know, like complain.
It's hard. When the prices go up this much, and then I saw that MacBook Pro, story, which really chafed my hide and put me in a bad mood for the rest of the day. So, am I buying one? Yeah, I'm actually really excited about the iPad. I do think it's overpriced. Just being honest, I think it's overpriced. I think they should have kept the prices the same and lowered the price of the 10.5-inch iPad. I think that would have been the better move. But here I am complaining and also pulling out my credit card right, file. Exactly. So
I'm going to hate buying this. I'm going to show you, Tim Cook. I'm really mad. Here's my credit card. Damn you, Tim.
I'm so mad that I'm buying the iPad right. and that stupid pencil that I don't need. So don't listen to me. I'm just some schmuck with a podcast. Any thoughts, Lewis? Any other thoughts before we move on to the MacBook Air?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it does look great. Sounds awesome. Yep. Apple Pencil looks like it's way better. Everything looks better. I mean, I don't know what to say. I just, I'll wait to hear your report. Yeah. You know, I don't have a lot to say about it because it looks like a great thing. I mean, I wish that I was, you know what I wish? I wish I could draw. I wish I was an artist in that way. I'm just not. And for that reason, it's always been kind of crazy for me to even own one. So I don't know.
It does
seem
like.
See how people use them.
It does seem like it's aimed or would be a really exciting product if you could actually, if you were an illustrator or something. Some of the artwork I've seen on iPads are unbelievable. And I'm a terrible drawer as well, but I'm going to practice. I reviewed a Bluetooth stylus or something for an iPad. This was years ago. And testing it out, I drew a painting that I had on my wall. It was a picture of Frank Sinatra. And I got to say, Lewis, it was like a solid 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which was probably, you know, several digits higher than I thought it would have been before I tried to do it. So I need to take a moment to give a shout out to one of the members of the very exclusive Cult Club, because he hooked me up with a corporate discount on the iPad. He has a corporate discount. He was like, dude, you want me to buy it for you? And I was like, I can't make you do that. And then he showed me the price, and I was like, yes, please. I'll take that and the Apple Pencil. So shout out. I'm not going to say your name because I don't want to get you in trouble, but you know who you are. And if your butt cheeks are tingling, it's because I'm giving you one of those big mind hugs at this very moment. In my mind, I just got my arms right around you. And yes, I went down and I gave him a squeeze. Okay, let's talk about the MacBook Air. This was a confusing product for me. And I think this is the one that's confusing a lot of people. Is it their new budget machine? Is it, as I originally thought, is it the MacBook Pro Mini? It looks powerful, but then we just learned that it has the newest Amber Lake 8th Gen dual core CPU in it, which is not a powerhouse CPU. It's powerful, but I heard that it was only a 5-watt CPU and is built for battery life. So I'm not really sure where this stands alongside the MacBook. They kind of seem to be the same thing. It has it was a complete overhaul. They give it the Retina display. It has the third gen butterfly keyboard, Touch ID, the larger Force Touch trackpad. Oh, this one got a big cheer. It's made from 100% garbage. Crowd went wild for that one. Now made from garbage, y'all. Woo! That was the biggest cheer of the entire event. People went wild.
I don't understand why you're not writing Apple's ad copy. You know, that sounds so much better than 100% of recycled aluminum.
That's
garbage.
That's marketeers. You know what recycled aluminum is? It's garbage. Remember when you threw that talking rain can into your recycle bin earlier today, Lewis? That's what's in the new MacBook Pro. It's made from garbage. It's literally made from garbage.
Brilliant.
This beautiful machine also gets a 20% price increase. The base model at 128 gigabits is now $1,200 instead of $1,000. The previous model is still available, as I mentioned before, with $1,000 price tag. The maxed out version with 16 gigs of RAM and a 1.5 terabyte hard drive, $2,600. That's nothing, right? Lewis is getting two.
Yeah. That is crazy for a MacBook Air. Mad.
What are they doing with this?
Yeah, right. Well, this is the big question, isn't it? Why bring back this old machine when they've got the the low-end MacBook there. Wasn't the low-end MacBook the new MacBook Air?
Right? Yeah, exactly. So the MacBook seemed like it was going to put the MacBook Air out of business, and the MacBook Air seems redundant. Why do you need both? I really don't know. It's confusing. And I've been trying to read other people's opinions as much as I could on the web this week, but no one's really sure exactly what's going on.
Right, no one's cracked it, have they? Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I kind of want one.
What?
It's beautiful. I'm not buying one, though. What? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, nothing. No. I was going to mention something completely different because it just pops in my head. Where was Johnny Ive? He wasn't a present. And if he's not, is he still running the show?
Well, neither was Craig Federighi. I mean, they haven't brought Bob Mansfield out on stage in years. I think he might be dead.
Well, he's Project Titaning, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably trapped in a autonomous car right now.
I can't get out. It won't stop.
It's driving him around the city. And then no Phil Schiller, although...
Well, he was narrating that video.
Did you see... I was live tweeting this whole thing, and I was like, the longer they go on with this spiel about how great the iPad is, the higher the price is going to be. And then they played that ad with Phil Schiller narrating, and I was like, oh no, the price just went up another $100. You got Phil Schiller to narrate this? That's right. Not cheap. Yeah, yeah. This is not going to be a cheap machine. But yeah, I guess he was present in voice only. And that was interesting, wasn't it? All of their, all the people that were on stage were people that you'd never heard of before, and they weren't the main executives. It's probably because it was so damn early. They were just like, just send out the JV team. Let's just get them to handle this, right? Because we don't want to have to be up at 7 a.m. Pacific time or earlier. So there you have it. The MacBook Air. It looks like a cool product. I just am not really sure why you would buy this over the MacBook Pro,
the regular MacBook.
The MacBook. Yeah, the MacBook. So... I don't know. You got me on that, but we'll see what ends up happening with these two lines, A Tale of Two MacBooks.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the Mac Mini. It finally got the full overhaul. We were all hoping it would get the space gray finish, the HDMI 2.0, the two USB 3 ports, the four Thunderbolt 3 ports, a headphone jack. For an extra $100, you can get a 10 gigabit Ethernet port, all new CPU, all new I.O., I'm sure many people are excited about that. It has a new cooling system that doubles the airflow, allowing the machine to run at a maximum sustained power that is 70% higher than before. According to the Geekbench 4 scores, the new 4-core CPU has close to the same performance as the 2017 5K iMac, so it's a powerful machine. $799 base, so they raised the price of it, of course. And they raised the price a lot. Theme. They raised the price a lot. And that's for the base 128 GB SSD model with the quad-core 8th gen Coffee Lake i3 CPU. Interestingly, that CPU, no turbo boost, no hyperthreading. I have never heard of a computer with no turbo boost or no hyperthreading. I didn't even know that was a thing. But apparently, that's the chip that went in here. 8 gigabytes of RAM. But don't you worry. If you want to max it out, you can do that. Oh, we talked about this earlier. $4,200 gets you a 6-core i7 CPU, 2 terabyte SSD, 64 gibs of RAM. This machine was almost perfect. They would have sold a bazillion of these things if they had just added a decent GPU in it. But as it is, it has the totally lame Intel UHD 630 graphics. You can't use that when you're editing Final Cut Pro videos, Bob Mansfield. You can't use that if you're serious about creative projects, Tim Cook. So I guess this is a good machine for running your factory building Fords, or if you're a developer, if you want to stack and rack a bunch of these, which they showed that picture during the keynote. It looked really cool having these all stacked together. So more expensive and more powerful. I don't know who this machine is aimed at, though. That's my only question. Developers, maybe? If they had put a decent GPU in this, I would probably get this, and I might even ditch my MacBook Pro.
Well, it's a good question, isn't it? Because it used to be like the cheapo Mac. Like if you already had a... And it was aimed at PC switches, wasn't it? Like if you had a PC, you already got a monitor, you've already got a keyboard, you've already got a mouse, and you want to dip your toe into the Mac world in an inexpensive, you know, sort of low-key way, go get a MacBook, you know, Mini. I'm sorry, a Mac Mini. And that was what its original idea was, wasn't it? It was the cheapest, you know, low-end Mac. And now this thing's kind of tricked out, and it seems to be aimed at a completely different user altogether. Right. I mean, at $800, this is not an entry-level system. It's not a way to get your feet wet in the Mac world.
I mean, not to mention the base system, it would be hard to get along with the base system. I mean, with that i3, that lame-ass i3 they put in there, and 128 gig SSD, that's not enough. You're going to have to go up at least one level, which I think the next one cost $999, maybe. I'd have to look it up. I actually didn't look. But so now you're looking at $1,000. I think the reason they didn't put a decent graphics chip in here is because it would have cannibalized the iMac. If you could buy this, if Apple isn't forcing you to buy a computer with a display, then you can purchase this essentially what is a Mac Pro Mini for way less money and have it be extremely powerful. I think most people would have just picked that for $1,000 or whatever and been good. I certainly would have. I would love to have one of these if it had a decent GPU, but
how
it doesn't.
How much do GPUs cost?
$600 maybe.
So yeah.
Yeah. So you add that on and actually somebody was making that point. I think it was Max Yuryev. He does a lot of great videos. We've talked about some of his videos before on YouTube. And he was saying, if you want to churn this into a decent machine with an actual eGPU and decent internals, you're almost spending, at that point, you're spending like iMac Pro money. So, you know, you might as well just get an iMac Pro at that point. So anyway, this machine is not for me, but maybe there are developers out there who are really excited about these. And if you wanted to have a headless horseman as a media server or something, this would probably be a very good option for you. So you could use it for that purpose. Let's see here. Before we... Oh, my diatribe about Mac Pro. MacBook Pro. Before we go into that, and then we'll wrap up with the five things that were not announced at this particular hardware event. Let me go ahead and say thank you to a new sponsor. This is Finn.
F-I-N or T-H-I-N?
Yeah. It's not Finn. It's Finn. F, like a shark fin, Leander.
Okay.
So, interesting sponsor and interesting product. Do you feel swamped, like there's not enough time to get things done? Leander, I think I just described your life, didn't
yeah.
I? Finn is an on-demand army of personal assistants that you can use to help you get your time back. You can use them for business or personal tasks, and they can do whatever you ask them to do. It's really crazy. I was actually just talking with them on the phone the other day, trying to get a better idea of what kind of things services can do. And I was like, hey, do you have anyone that could host a podcast? And they said they're going to get back to me. So we might be using them for that in the future. But they can do research for you. So if you're trying to figure out if one product is better than another, or if you're trying to like research moving companies or vacations or something like that, they can do that for you. They can help you plan and schedule a business trip. They can make your doctor's appointments for you. They have a digital vault where you can store your usernames and passwords. And so you can give them access to the websites you use. And then you can have them go onto those websites and do things for you. If you're moving, they can help you manage your move, schedule movers, that type of thing. If you're a new parent or maybe you're a new mom and you just don't have any time, you can have them plan date nights for you. You can have them plan kid dates for you. Anything that you can think of, you can have Finn complete those tasks for you. Here's how it works. They give you a phone number and they give you an email address. Those are your personal phone number and email addresses. And then whenever you need something, you can text them, you can call them, you can email them, or you can use their mobile app. You can tell them what you need and then they go and they do it for you. Now, you can use them full time. If you're like an executive and you need help a lot, they have packages that include, you know, part-time or full-time support. But maybe you just need to use them every once in a while. Like maybe you are involved in a work push and you're swamped at work. You don't have time to do some of the tasks in your life that you would normally need, that you would normally have time to do. You can use them on a time basis. So you just ask them to do a task for you and then they'll go out and they'll do that thing for you. And then you can never use them again. And that would be the end of that. So it's an interesting service, an intriguing service. And if you're intrigued, you can head on over to finn.com fin.com/cultcast. That's fin.com/cultcast. They're giving our listeners a $60 free credit. So you can go and have them do $60 worth of work for you for free. So there's no reason not to try it if you're intrigued.
Those are like, click, 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 click.
Jeez, man. I got to get in on this right now.
Yeah, maybe they can write some posts for you guys. You get a couple free posts out of them.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, one of the things that they mentioned is that they have people use them for research a lot if they're trying to compare different things. So, yeah, it's like this this neat service that helps you reclaim your life, and you can offload work to them that you don't want to do, and they can do it for you, and they can do it all for you. So, fin.com/cultcast. What's that?
Well, you know, do you think they could offload everything? Maybe I could offload my entire life. Don't remember someone tried this a few years ago? They tried to outsource everything they did.
Using Amazon
Turk or something. And
was it? I was thinking of that book, The 4-Hour Work Week, where the guy's
Tim Ferriss,
like,
you
need to have a digital assistant to help you outsource your life so you can work 4 hours. Yeah, they could help you live life on the beach, and then they can just do your job for you. Do you telecommute? You can have Finn do your job for you. And then you can just kick back on the beach and relax. It's actually not a bad plan. Anyway, so you get a free $60 credit. Check it out at fin.com, fin.com/cultcast. Okay. I'm so bitter. I'm so salty this week. I'm sorry. This was the one that really set me over the cliff. So I just bought my new MacBook Pro. These were announced in July. And if you bought one too, I want you to know Apple has screwed us all. They're loyal pro users. Apple had pitched these new MacBook Pros at professionals. They had told you that they were the long-awaited powerhouse portable video editing machines that you were waiting for. And I was excited. It's been many years since Apple has had a significant update to the MacBook Pro line, and this was compelling. The Coffee Lake chips alone with more cores were the chips I had been waiting for years. You guys all know that. Well, they sold these machines, and we were all happy, but then just the other day, well, right after the event, they announced they're going to be adding new graphics cards options to these machines that were going to be up to 60% faster than the current graphics cards that were available in the MacBook Pros. So what is this? 3.5 months after they announced the machines, they're going to be offering these insane graphical upgrades that were going to be helping you work faster in video editing. So, you know, the task that they're selling these computers to you to accomplish, the one thing that you bought these computers for, Apple is going to suddenly be offering a graphics chip that's going to help you do that up to 60% faster. Well, I was beyond pissed. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I mean, the GPUs in the new MacBook Pros haven't been updated really in years. The 560X, which is the top of the line that you can get currently, is an update of the 560, but it was only like a spec bump. And the 560 was only a spec bump of the 460. So we haven't seen significant GPU improvements in the MacBook Pro in quite a while. And these new Radeon Pro Vega GPUs that they're going to be offering, they're the same ones offered in the iMac Pro. And the more I thought about this, the more irate I became. Clearly, Apple knew they were going to be offering this upgrade when the MacBook Pros went on sale. And they knew they were aiming these machines at video editors. So why didn't they tell us that these graphics options were going to be available? Because they knew that many of us would probably wait, and they wanted our money now, right when they announced them. So even though they knew that many of us would want these faster graphics options, they just wanted to take our money. At the very least, this is a massive move on Apple's part. It's one of the biggest screw jobs I have ever seen them do in the history of this podcast. They bent us all over, and they gave us the screw job big time. They took our money and ran and said, sorry, screw you guys for wanting faster processors. Maybe just buy a new MacBook Pro. I mean, 3.5 months, what company out there releases a product And then 3.5 months later says, oh, by the way, here's a much better version of that product. Nobody does that because people get pissed when you do that. I just spent $3,300 on a MacBook Pro, and now you're telling me you have a machine that's up to 60% better than the one that I already have for the task that you sold me. I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless.
I know. It is pretty outrageous. 3.5 months, huh?
It's totally out. It's completely outrageous. Well, what were they thinking when they did this? I mean, like I said, at the very least, it's a dick move. At the very worst, it's a greedy, money-hungry, anti-consumer move. I don't know what to do about it. Probably nothing. I'll probably just grin and bear it. What else am I going to do? I thought about writing Tim Cook an email, and I still might do this.
Yeah, do it.
This is outrageous that they're doing this.
We'll print it on Cult of Mac.
Will you?
Get the pitchforks out. Come on. We're going to rally. We're going to want all the listeners to rally outside of Apple HQ next week with pitchforks and burning torches, and we're going to burn the place to the ground.
Burn it to the ground.
They should be LED torches, not actual torches, you know, because they're bad for the environment.
That's right.
Yeah, the smoke's bad for the air. Let's just have torches, maybe torch gifts on our phones, Leander. That seems like it'd be
That's a good idea.
Am I right to be mad? Am I overreacting? It's completely outrageous. I mean, they are positioning these machines as the portable video editing dream machines, and you knew that you were going to be releasing.
Well, they were laughing. They were laughing at you. That's the worst thing I ever found.
They were laughing all the way to the bank.
They were laughing. They were chuckling away. They were like, "We're going to pull this move."
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Well,
how much more are they?
I don't know. They haven't announced them yet.
No
so.
Pricing yet. So. I totally agree with you. I think it's a great idea. Write a letter. Before you do it, check and see how much the price difference is. Check and see how much the give back would be if you traded that thing in. I mean, to be honest, I think Apple should do what Harley-Davidson does. If you buy like a Sportster or something, within a year, if you want to upgrade to a better, bigger motorcycle, they give you the money back.
Really?
Yeah.
The full price?
Huh. Yeah, you know, if you buy a Sportster, at least, okay, don't quote me. I bought one of these. I've never bought a new one, but that was the pitch, you know, at least 10 years ago they were doing this, and I think they still do it because what they want to do, just like Apple, is get you into their
ecosystem. Yeah, they want their customer, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be basically like buy a MacBook Air, and then if you bump up to a MacBook Pro, you give you a full purchase price, but, you know, you're still paying twice as much. So, I completely feel you on this, and this is like the worst case of buyer's remorse ever, right?
Well, not only that, but Apple has us trained. They only release their computers once a year, if that, maybe once every 5 quarters do they update their machines, right? So they train you like your Pavlov's dog. You know, by the end of summer, your mouth starts salivating. You know, the MacBook Pro updates are coming. And so they train you to trust them in that regard. And then they take that trust, Tim Cook takes it, and he wipes his crack with it and throws it in the toilet and flushes it. That's what just happened to me. I feel totally betrayed that they did this to me. Regardless of how much that GPU update costs, they should have at least given you the option. They should have said right from the get-go, look, we are going to be offering a much more powerful GPU card for this computer in the next 3 months. And if you wait, then you'll have the option to buy that. That's what they have on their website right now. If you go to their website and you try to order a machine that's specced with these GPUs, they have a little disclaimer that is there that says, hey, we're going to be updating these options in the next couple of weeks. And so you can wait if you want. But they took that decision away from us, and I can't think of any other reason that they did it other than the fact that they just wanted to take our money right then and there.
Were these GPUs out 3 months ago? Could they have offered them then?
As far as I know, that they were. They were the same ones that were offered in the iMac Pro. They were certainly available in external eGPUs. I think the Blackmagic eGPU has like the Radeon Pro Vega 56. I have like the worst time remembering the names of these GPUs, but they've been around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like they're brand new to the market. You know, Apple's just adding them to the MacBook Pro now.
I can't remember an occasion when they've done this in the past. Like you said, they usually wait at least a year. before they do an upgrade.
I mean, they updated, they did this once with MacBook Pros where they updated from Skylake processors to, I forget what it was. It was like an 8-month wait, and they updated the CPUs, and people were pissed about that. And even then, I think that would be incredibly frustrating because it's only been 8 months. But at least it's 8 months. I mean, 3 months. Who updates a machine after 3 months? Nobody does that.
Well, right. So it's kind of demands some kind of explanation, right, that we're not privy to. So there's going to be some reason. There's going to be something going on here.
I'm surprised that more people aren't outraged, but I have seen some people who are really pissed on YouTube making comments about this exact same thing. And again, these are your pro users. I mean, the people who are spending the big bucks on this stuff, because it's only available in the upper tier MacBook Pro. So people who are spending that much money, I would imagine, have a professional use case for these computers. So those are the people that you're screwing over is your most loyal your most loyal customer base.
Well, they're the easiest ones because you're going to be because you have a sadomasochistic relationship with the company anyway.
There you go. You enjoy the pain.
Exactly. Yeah. That hurt me more, Tim.
Oh God. 50 Shades of Space Gray.
That would be a fantastic episode title right there.
Right, there you go.
Oh my gosh. Anyway. I'm sorry. I'm Mr. Sour Pants this entire episode, but hopefully you can feel my pain. You know what I was thinking? And I'm not sure we're going to do this, but this is just an idea. I was like, we'll see what Apple does with these MacBook Pros. Maybe what I could do is I could start a Kickstarter to raise funds for the new MacBook Pro. And the person who gives me the highest donation gets the MacBook Pro that I currently have now, the $3,300, you know, beast of a machine with the trash GPU, the garbage GPU that should be just pulled out of the motherboard and thrown away, never to be used again. We'll see how much the new GPU options cost. Maybe you're onto something, Lewis. Maybe it's gonna be like $1,000. You know, it's gonna be something crazy.
Yeah. I really wonder if an eGPU might even be better. I mean, I've heard great things about that. I don't know anything about any of this stuff. I keep hearing great things about them, and I mean, to be honest, how many months down the line is whatever this latest greatest internal GPU going to be outdated?
Well, if you had asked me last week, I would have said an entire year, Lewis. Right. It would take a year.
I know. Hey, I completely understand why you're outraged, and now, I think you've made your case eloquently.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's move on. Let's wrap up the show with something.
Fun.
Well, I was going to say cheery, but maybe this isn't cheery. A little more fun. Let's wrap it up
Five
with something
things
fun.
Things we didn't get.
who ordered the notes for this terrible show? Who did this?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so five things we didn't get at the Apple More in the Making event. Number one, the Ghosted, the Vaporware, the Air Power wireless charging mat, gone. I'm not even sure this product ever existed.
Yeah, it's got to be gone forever now, right? I mean, there's no chance it's going to come out now.
It's the Duke Nukem of charging pads.
Well, Ming-Chi Kuo thinks it's going to come out in the next, few months. But
few months.
I will point out the great Ming-Chi Kuo. He's fallen. He was saying for the last 3-4 months we were going to get a budget MacBook of some kind, right? The $700, the rumored $700, $800 MacBook. Not only was he wrong, we got price hikes on everything. They all went up in price, so we didn't get that either. The iPad Mini, also notably missing from the presentation, the iPad Mini. Although, I think we're still going to see it, don't you guys? I mean, they're not kissing away the iPad Mini. I think it's just going to be a few more months before we get updates on that, don't you think?
Sure.
I've dazzled you with my wit and charm. Okay, moving on.
I had to process what you said.
Yeah.
Because I thought it said Mac thinking. Mini. I was like, what? But then I was like, oh, no, iPad Mini.
Will
there be another iPad Mini? Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
You know, did I say Mac Mini or did I say iPad Mini?
You said iPad Mini. It was just, this episode has gone on for so long.
I know.
I'm in a complete sugar coma.
What people don't realize is we're on hour 6. We've got to wrap this thing up. Okay. You're only going to hear an hour of it, but we've been going on for 6 hours. No new AirPods. I thought we might see these. I thought there was a chance, but it looks like the Air Power Mat is still holding these back. That's my best guess, because they promised us wireless charging and we don't have the Air Power Mat. So what can they say? What can they say? If they release the AirPods, they have to address the missing Air Power Mat. So I think that's why we haven't seen it yet. Nothing music related. I don't know. Why would we expect something musically related? I mean,
just because of the location of where they held it. Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, there you go. That actually makes sense. Okay.
We did have some music, Lana Del Rey.
what a fantastic performance that was. It actually, it perfectly captured the state of my soul after seeing all of those price increases, those melancholy songs, you know, her just droning on sadly for 20
you
minutes. I was like, yeah, that's how I feel.
I was disappointed. There was no finger touching at the end, you know, like you did with Bono.
Oh, that was a magical moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially all the gifts that came out of it, the little star.
Oh yeah, we used that on our Cultcast artwork for months afterwards. Yeah, that was a strange but powerful, poignant moment. And then the last thing, the wait for the Mac Pro continues. Does this computer actually exist? Nobody knows. Nobody actually knows. But apparently, Apple is working on something. Who knows when we'll actually see it? It's probably going to have to be sometime in 2019, though. We're not getting any more new hardware this year, right, guys? Can we agree on that?
Yes, I agree.
You know what I just realized? We didn't have time to do my iPhone XR first week impressions. We totally ran out of time with just this material.
Well, we've got another hour. Do you want to go through it?
Yeah. Should we just keep the show going
for
another
hour? Keep boring on.
No. We'll move that to next week. I mean,
oh, really?
We probably only have like 10% of our audience left at this point anyway. So yeah, we'll
another, just another 7 days of flip flopping back and forth about whether it's the greatest thing ever.
I'll just change the title to my first 2 week impressions. No one will know the difference.
A fortnight.
There you go. A fortnight with the 10R. There's our Cult of Mac post title right there. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Everyone's in a bad mood. Now I'm sorry. I ruined everyone's weekend. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. I didn't mean to come on this show and take a big pee-pee on all the products. But I'll tell you what, I'm spending thousands of dollars on Apple products. So it's going to be a glorious day when all those products start rolling in. And I'm sure once I get that big, beautiful iPad Pro in my hands, all will be forgiven. I won't even mind that Tim Cook just totally screwed us all over on that MacBook Pro. Okay, before I go into another tangent, let's go ahead and say that's all the Cultcasts we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us your first impressions, your thoughts about all the hardware announced at the More in the Making event, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Arifon. Lander is at L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the longest 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys
next time,
y'all.
What does that remind me of? That really reminds me of something.
Johnny Carson?
Jar Jar Binks.
It wasn't Jar Jar Binks, but now that you mention it.
If only that were the first time I had been compared to Jar Jar.
Texas is
okay. Well, no hurry. Let's not get on with this at all.
Well, I just want to sit back and contemplate a few things. Give me like 10 minutes. I'm just going to stare at the ceiling.
One of the reasons is my ass is hurting like hell on these stools.
Oh, I was going to say, do I even want to ask?
No.
Headline. Stool causes Caney ass problem. Would you say the stool is harder than usual?
Yeah, it is. It's a...
Why are you sitting on a stool? It sounds like a
I'm
terrible
in my
idea.
Kitchen. That's what we have.
Oh, you're at your house. Great. Are all your kids going to come home soon and start
no.
making themselves
well, they
dinner?
Will if we keep screwing around.
Here comes the dog.
Tracy's going to be swearing in the background. Actually, the audience would love that.
They will be here literally probably in less than an hour. So
okay,
get
let's get
here
this
we go.
Thing, let's get this thing rolling. Here we go.